The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords.
This is the Rental Income Podcast.
And now, Dan Lane.
Eric, you've got a pretty busy life. You've got a full-time job, a wife, kids. You also flip houses in your spare time, and you self-manage all your rentals. How do you have time to self-manage your rentals with all that you have going on?
A lot of it is kind of creative. So we do a lot of creative things to kind of take a little bit more of a hands-off approach, but still allowing things to get done, systems and other things like that.
On the podcast today, Eric is going to walk us through how he self-manages his rentals. He'll also tell us about how he gets his tenants to help him self-manage. And he'll share with us how he's brought his vacancy to pretty close to zero. Joining us on the podcast today from Poughkeepsie, New York, is Eric Helbach. We'll take a really quick break to thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll meet Eric. The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified. And I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors, because the last thing you want to have happen is to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender and she'll pre-qualify you for free if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E. lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056. Being a landlord just became a lot easier thanks to Tenant Cloud. They have everything you need to manage your rental properties all in one place, from taking online applications to creating custom leases specific to your state and collecting rent online. And this is really cool. They actually have local contractors in your area to help you when you have a repair call. That's right, contractors in your area that are there for you when you need them. Everything is right there, all in one place. How much does it cost? Well, this is crazy. It's totally free to sign up. It's not a trial. It's free forever. They do have some paid plans, but it's totally free to sign up and get started. Just go to tenantcloud.com. That's tenantcloud, C-L-O-U-D. tenantcloud.com. Eric, one of the things that you're doing to make your life easier with managing your rentals is you're actually getting your tenants to help you manage the properties. How are you doing that?
So we set up a lot of systems. We have automatic payments set up. We also have a 15-unit building where one of our tenants takes out the garbage and we pay them for that. We have another tenant that's been with us since we bought the building, who basically will do any showings for apartments that are available, or say we have a contractor that has to go there, he'll go and unlock the door and he'll wait with the contractor. Or if we have material getting dropped off, he'll do that as well.
Hmm. Okay. So do you actually pay them, or are you just giving them a discount off rent?
We never give a discount off rent. It's always a separate transaction. We pay them. The guy that shovels the walkways, or another guy takes in the garbage, or the gentleman that shows the apartments and or to contractors, we pay them a flat fee.
All right. Awesome. How much do you pay them for that?
For showing the apartments to, say, it's like $25. And okay, if they're showing contractors, as long as they're not wasting too much of their time, we like to make win-wins. Like the other day in New York, it snowed a bunch. I want to say we had 18 inches. We usually pay the guy $25 to shovel the walkways and sand them. I think we gave him 75 just because it was a large amount of snow.
Right.
So we try to always make sure that we are treating people fairly. We just purchased two duplexes the day of the last snowstorm. So I couldn't get a contractor to, to shovel the walkways and steps. So I quickly did it. And today I picked up my first payment, which I haven't picked up a payment in probably over 5 years. So I was telling him about automatic deposit or electronic deposit. And while I was there, I said to the son, "You look about 20, 25 years old." He goes, "Yeah, I'm 22. I said, "How do you feel about, you know, shoveling the steps and the walkway? And, you know, we'll give you $25. He said, "I do it anyway." I said, "Yeah, so now at least you feel like you're getting paid for it." I said, "The thing I need from you is three pitchers. Take them from three different angles and make sure that you could see that there's sand or salt down. And what I'll do is I'll just Venmo you or Cash App you $25 each time." It probably takes him about 10 minutes. So it's a really good rate of pay.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I know I'm covered and they're taken care of.
Right. Now, what about actually doing repairs? Like if you have a tenant that's maybe a little bit handy, would you ever trust a tenant to do repair work on any properties?
One time, a long time ago, probably five years ago, I just bought a place and I was showing it. I always show right away. I hate losing days. So even between tenants, I hate losing days. So I showed it and I said, "Look, and I showed you tons of pictures on the internet. I showed you tons of pictures via text. I said, the bathroom and the kitchen will look just like this in a week and a half when you move in." The guy happened to be a contractor and asked me if he could do the bathroom to my specs, to the drawings I had, for 1 month's rent. He'd do all the labor. I did it and it turned out great. And, he lived there for 2 years, and instead of losing, I think 14 days, like I planned on to do the kitchen and bathroom, I think he moved in 8 days. So okay. I was starting to collect rent a month after that. Yeah.
Right. So let's talk more about the showing. So when someone calls off one of your ads to see a rental,
sure,
do you just refer them to your tenant that's going to do the showings, or do you do any kind of pre-screening with them beforehand?
So we want to make sure that they're going to fit the vibe of the building. So we have a certain criteria. So we send them 10 questions, which I have no problem sharing with you and your listeners. I could give it to you and you can put it on your show notes or something if you want.
That'd be great.
We basically shoot them a quick text or an email, depending on what format we set up the listing. And we just say, "Hey, thank you so much for inquiring. We have a couple of questions. If you could fill these out, and you know, we'll set it up an appointment to show it." And as long as they qualify, then we give them in the 15 unit buildings, we give them to Cliff. He's the gentleman that shows to contractors and also potential tenants, or in the other buildings, we just try to, you know, bring someone in to get it done.
Okay. And then what about with doing the scheduling? So the maybe the person says, "Hey, I want to see the property tomorrow at 10 a.m. How do you coordinate that scheduling without going back and forth 100 times with your tenant?
Yeah, at that point, I say, "You know what? I'm not really sure if it's available. Let me do you a favor, do you and me a favor, and put you in touch with Cliff."
Okay.
And then you guys can work out all the little details. I try not to micromanage. You know, I feel like the more I try to take too much control, we're dealing with human beings. Mm-hmm. So I'm a teacher by trade. So I deal with 13-year-olds all day long. So I try to treat every tenant like an adult. And right. I figure they could figure it out. You know, they're grown-ups.
Right, right.
I kind of set it on its way.
And, you know, something else you mentioned earlier is that you don't like to lose days. So you're trying to, when someone calls you to see a rental, you want to get them in there as soon as possible, like hopefully the next day.
Oh, yeah. So yeah. I've been doing this a really, not a long time, but I've been doing this a little over 10 years. And since the beginning, my very first thing was a flip, right? My very first thing took forever. And once I started buying rentals, I realized a kind of a simple math formula in my head. If it's $1,000, it's 30 days. It's a little over $30 a day I'm losing, you know, if it's not rented. So if you make that a $2,000 rental, that's $60 a day.
Right.
So my thought is things like paint and spackling, things that are quiet, we'll do at night, you know, for construction wise, for things like a tenant, we're in a high demand area. We're in Poughkeepsie, Wappingers, the Hudson Valley. It's about an hour outside of Manhattan. So, you know, we've had like a 2% vacancy since I've started, and my vacancy is even lower. The area's vacancy is about 2%, 3%. You know, we have colleges, we have a lot of hospitals by us. So very low vacancy rate. So I really try my best not to lose any days.
Right. Now, how do you minimize your days between showings? So that's always a lot of landlords will lose sometimes a month or more if a tenant moves out and then they get in there and fix the property up and then they start marketing. Yeah. So how do you minimize those days so that you're not losing a couple of months?
So in all of our leases, and even when we take over a building, we say, hey, look, even if they're month to month, we're going to do our best to work with you no matter what. If you get into a bad situation, we just need you to communicate. If you're going to buy a house, we need you to communicate. We'll do our best to not keep your money. And when I say not keep your money, the deposit to me is their money. Mm-hmm. So we try our best to always work with our tenants and be fair and flexible. And the only thing we ask is that they treat us the same way. So say we have a tenant that says, hey, Eric, I'm buying a house or I'm looking to buy a house. Is there any way I could break my lease? My answer is, sure. I'm going to do my best to work with you. As long as we don't lose money, you're not going to lose money. So what I'll do is once you find the place, go into contract, you let me know right away. And I'm going to start showing your place right away so I can find someone to move in that's qualified. If you don't give me more than 2 weeks notice, I'm not going to really probably find the most qualified candidate. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it's going to take me a little longer and therefore you're going to lose some money.
Right.
So usually when I explain to them that we're in this together, you know, just like day one, I'm always here to work with you. I want this to work for me. I want this to work for you. They're usually pretty good.
Okay. And so with a lease ending, if the person's not leaving early, you're also doing the same thing where you're showing the rental before the tenant leaves?
Yeah. So about 60 days now, because of New York State laws that changed last year, if they've been there more than 3 years, around 90 days, we'll basically just touch base. Hey, Tom, it's really good. It's been great having you. Your lease is about to come to an end, or you're about 90 days out, you're 60 days out, you're 30 days out. I'm just curious if you're planning on renewing. And if they seem like they're on the fence, I'll explain to them if we're raising the rent, how much. That way I can make it very clear and they can make a more educated decision. If they instantly say yes, I say, all right, before I just want to talk, before you wholeheartedly commit to it, I just want to explain to you that there's a 3% increase this year. Or, you know what, you've been great to us. There's no increase. If they ask about going month to month, we just charge a little bit more. We say, no problem. For us, it's not as convenient. We'll definitely honor a month to month. But the only thing we ask is that you give us 60 days notice. It'll say that in your new lease. That way we can find an equally suitable replacement. And we kind of just, as long as we're clear and concise with them, we're pretty good.
Yeah. And it sounds like from the way you're talking, it sounds like you have pretty good relationships with your tenants too.
Every single one of them.
Yeah. And I would imagine that's important. I mean, you're in New York. It's not the most landlord-friendly state. So any way that you can work things out with a tenant without getting the law involved is going to benefit you, right?
I tell people I leave a little money on the table to not lose a lot of money.
Right, yeah.
Because if they're, you know, they're treated condescending or nasty, everyone just thinks it's their fault. But if you treat them like humans and you talk to them and you're fair with them, they usually fare back.
Absolutely. Yeah, that definitely goes a long way. And, you know, I think people are more willing to work with you and treat you fairly if they feel like you're treating them fairly. So I think
let me get sidetracked for 2 seconds. Yeah. So I went today. I picked up my first rent payment in many, many years, right? I talked to the son about shoveling. He agreed. And I said, all right, if you guys need anything, here's my cell phone number. Here's my email. Here's, you know, basically, it's a P.O. box that we use, blah, blah, blah. And they said, actually, the floor has a hole in it. Now, I didn't see this when I walked the property. So I said, do you mind if I come up right now? They said, sure. So I go in the kitchen and the linoleum is like worn away down to the plywood. And to me, that's like unacceptable.
Right.
I said, okay, so let me make you a promise. Give me like 2 months. It's hard to get material right now. It's hard to get contractors because of COVID and everything. How long has it been like this? It's been like that for 2 years.
Mm. Wow.
To me, that's unacceptable.
Yeah.
So once I left there, I called up the guy I've been using for flooring. He's great. And I said, hey, look, this is the situation. Brand new tenant, blah, blah, blah. He goes, I have an opening next week. A one-day opening, how big? I tell him the flooring. He says he'll get it done. I call up my local Costco. They have a great luxury vinyl product. It's on sale this month for $8 off. I said, you know what? They have it in stock. I call them back. I say, hey, if you guys could be a little patient with us and unlock the door for my contractor, he's going to come Wednesday and install the new floor. To them, I went from being the enemy when I first knocked on the door, you know, and all of a sudden now they're like, all right, great. This is going to work, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
It's not going to cost much money either. It's the right way to do business.
Absolutely. So have you ever sold any rentals, or are you just right now working on building out your portfolio?
I just sold a bunch in the last year.
Really? Okay. Well, why'd you sell them?
So picture the 80-20 rule. Mm-hmm. Say 20% of my portfolio was giving me 80% of my headaches. Mm. I just dumped them.
Yeah.
So we got rid of a couple of condos just because of dealing with condo board associations issues. We got rid of a single family house. It was an older house from like the 1800s. And maybe 2 winters ago, we had a really extremely cold winter and the pipes froze. And then we put a heat tape on it and we had the sill plates spray foamed. And somehow it froze again. And I feel like, oh, then something happened with the water line at that house. And we did a nice rehab on it. I was like, you know what? This place is just giving me more headache than it's worth. Mm, and yeah. I want to say I probably made $80,000 on the place on the sale of it. So anytime I buy, I say, all right, what are my exit strategies? Can I flip this? Can I, you know, rehab this and basically burr it, you know, hold it for a long time, put long-term loan on it with low interest, and or, you know, am I just going to keep this part of my portfolio? Can I wholesale this? So I always try to think of all the different exit strategies. As long as it makes sense, I buy it.
I mean, to have a property that's causing you trouble and you can make $80,000 by selling it, I mean, that sounds like kind of a no-brainer. I think you probably did the right thing, but you know, in the back of my head, what I'm always thinking of is when I talk to investors that have been doing this for 40 years, they always say that they regret selling properties along the way, that it seemed like they were selling them at a high point and they made a good profit. But if they had just held on, they would have made even more. Do you ever think about that, that maybe you were selling too early, or was it so much of a hassle that
I'll be honest with you. I try never to have regret like that because we could always second guess almost every decision we make, right?
Sure.
My thing is I just keep moving forward. I sold a condo. I want to say it was a burn and turn. I already bought a couple of condos from the same guy, and he called me. I put it under contract for a great price, and this is a funny story. It actually, the unit caught fire as I was showing it to wholesale it. So the heating system caught fire. I had to evacuate the whole condo building, call up the owner that was selling it to me. And he was like, obviously you're going to back out. And I was like, no way. I'm going to, you know, if you go halves with me, we'll fix the heating system. And yeah, I'll buy it. You know, the only thing I ask is because now I'm going to be out a little money. If you mind if I fix the place before I own it. He was totally cool with it. I fixed it. And then I sold it to an end buyer. Like the day I closed, I put it on Craigslist or Facebook. And I found a guy. We came to an accepted offer. We handshook over it. And then like the next 2 or 3 days, I got 1 million calls at much higher prices. But I already done deal. The guy sold it maybe this year. It was 3 or 4 years ago I bought it. He sold it a couple of months ago for like $40,000 or $50,000 more than I sold it to him for. And we're not talking about mega bucks. I think I bought it for 62. I put 2,500 in before I owned it. I sold it for 82.5. Mm-hmm. And he sold it for about 130.
Okay.
Know?
Yeah.
So when you think about it, could I have kept that and had another rental and make a lot of more money? Definitely. But by me selling that, it gave me more money in my pocket that I went out and bought another deal. And I continue to do that. And it's not like the money's sitting in my bank. I'm using that money to say, all right, now I'm going to look at a 10 unit. All right, now I'm going to buy two more duplexes. Oh, you know what? I walked that 54 unit. I really want that. What do I need to actually pull the trigger on something
right.
like that?
Right.
So I could, you know, cut off my nose to spite my face. You know, could I make more money? Maybe. But I feel like as long as I'm keep moving in a positive direction, I'm good.
Sure. Sure. Now, tell me about condos. So you've mentioned that you've sold some condos, and right now you own some condos still, right?
Yeah, I think I own two in one complex and one in another complex, and I'm in contract for one more.
So what do you think? Do condos make good rentals? Because you've got the condo fee, you've got a lot of rules with the condo association. Do you like condos as rentals, or would you rather own other types of real estate?
I think that's a really personal question, meaning when I first started, it was the absolute best thing in the world for me. It allowed me the freedom to own real estate. I was buying condos for $40,000, $50,000 in New York. HOAs were less than three. Taxes were less than three. So it was maybe $600 a month, $550 going out. And I'd be bringing in my first one, I think, was nine. My second one, I think we did 1,000, third one, 1,100, and that was all within the first year. So there was a nice amount of profit for me. Then after a little while, I realized I could take a loan out on these. They still cash flowed, and I took all my money plus put some money in my pocket. So if I'm buying it for 40 or 50 and they're worth, say, 80 at the time, and I'm taking, at the time, I was taking 80% loans on them, you know, I paid back all the money I had out and put a little in my pocket and cash flowed. So at the time, it was a great thing for me. Now where I am, I really see the value of multifamily, five units, 10 units, 20 units, duplexes, more doors in one location.
Awesome. If anybody is in the Poughkeepsie Hudson Valley area and you want to connect with Eric, he actually hosts a meetup group with other local investors. If you want to get some more information or reach out to Eric, I've got his contact information on the website. I've also got the list of questions that he asks prospective tenants. You can check it all out at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode301. I'd like to thank today's sponsors for making this episode possible. I'd like to thank Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. Chaley is a nationwide lender, and she specializes in helping investors buy rental properties. She has a ton of different loan programs, and she can find something customized to you for your situation. If you want to find out more or set up a time to talk to Chaley personally, just go to ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com. If you mention Rental Income Podcast, she will waive all the pre-qualification fees. I'd also like to thank Tenant Cloud for sponsoring today's episode. If you're looking for leases, online applications, or you want to set up online payments, check out Tenant Cloud. You can get started today for free. Just go to tenantcloud.com. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. If this is your first time here, make sure you subscribe. We put out new interviews every Tuesday. And if you subscribe, you'll get notified as soon as they come out. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.